This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so very happy to be with you today. I love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. It is always a joy, always a joy. Starting the week with you is a wonderful joy. Ending the work week with you is a wonderful joy. Just being together all of those days is a great grace in my life. And I hope it is in yours, too. And if it is, well, let us know about it right here at Women of Grace Live. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where, as you know, I love to have holy conversation with you. Can't have holy conversation with you if you don't call, though. So it's 833-288-3986, 833-288-EWTN. It's toll-free for you right here in North America, and I invite you to use that number profusely. Use it daily and often. And so you, if you're out there in social...
I know what I want to talk about now.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. For those of you out there in social media land, you see me holding up my phone, right? So I know already. I'm sitting here in studio with Jack because it's Monthly Marriage Monday. And so my little phone dinged, and I saw him jump because, you know, he jumped because why? Because the phone rang. Didn't ring. It just dinged with a message. So anyway, I've turned it off now, dear. So we can proceed with the show. We're happy to have you here on Monthly Marriage Monday. I'm in studio. Jack is with me. You've heard him already. He's sitting there smiling. And he's happy in spite of the little ding of the phone. We enjoy being together on the air with you. We dedicate this first Monday of the month all of the time to the sacrament of matrimony. We like to receive your questions or comments about it. This is a Marian month. I said to Jack, I want to talk about Mary and marriage. You know, we don't often think about our Blessed Lady in connection to marriage because, well, we think of her underneath all of her titles, right? But, you know, I don't think that there's a title to Our Lady specific to married life. But she was. She was married. She was married to St. Joseph, and they had a beautiful, wonderful marriage. We know that it was what we call a Josephite marriage, meaning that the conjugal act was not part of that marriage. She was pledged to perpetual virginity. Do believe that he probably was too, but nonetheless, there they were, and they were in the enterprise of making a life together and raising their son, their very special son, our Lord Jesus Christ, hers by way of the Holy Spirit, his by way of God's divine selection of him to be the father on earth to his son. So I thought we would talk a little bit about that, but we'll talk about anything that you want to talk about. Again, that toll-free number is 833-288-EWTN. If you're outside of North America, we have a number for you too. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985 is the way you can join us. And if you are in a position where you can't use the phone, but you do want to communicate with us, or you just prefer it, social media is there too. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Both of them have a chat feature. You can use it to put in your question or comment, insight. Excuse me for that sneeze. Insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Matthew Gubensky is answering our phones today, and Michael McCall is our guy out there in social media land. Rich Jesse is producing the show, and Jack and I are hosting it. Hi, honey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm Dandy. How are you doing?
Terrific, thanks.
Good. So what's going on?
I don't know. I'm trying to see if there are any Marian titles that have anything to do with marriage.
I don't think that there are, but there could be. If you know of one, call us and let us know, right? But we do hold Mary and Joseph, you know, as icons for us, right? As the way in which we are to live our married life together. We don't really hear a whole lot about their marriage. We only have the opportunity in sacred scripture to see St. Joseph in a couple of occasions. Same with our Blessed Lady, but you know, know, their presence in sacred scripture is nonetheless pervasive. And we can really extrapolate, if you will, from those moments that we see them in sacred scripture, numbers of things about their marriage. We know, for example, of the beautiful way in which St. Joseph cared for our Blessed Mother. We see that as we read in the narratives, the infancy narratives in sacred scripture, about going to Bethlehem and his concern for her. She's with child and her time is coming very near. And in addition to that, as her time is coming near, St. Joseph is very solicitous in trying to find a place for her to stay where she would be comfortable if this child should be born in the sooner than the later of that moment in time. And we know that he's doing his very best, and yet there's nothing. But he provides what he can for her, right? So we see him acting in that beautiful charism of protector, one of those beautiful masculine charisms that is endowed to the masculine gender by way of the gift of God. We see it being pronounced really in the Garden of Eden when God talks with Adam about protecting the garden. That's what he means when he says, till the garden and keep it. That keeping is keep it. Keep it safe. Protect it. Guard it. And that is what St. Joseph is doing there. We see again his immediate response to the angel when baby Jesus' life was threatened by Herod. And what does he do? He gets up in the middle of the night. He is immediately obedient to the movement of grace in his life, to the movement of God's will in him, to get Mary and get baby Jesus to a safe location. And he sojourns all that great distance. Though there is no real mention of much after that of St. Joseph, except to say that he brought them back from Egypt at the behest of an angel once again, and that he was with Mary. They searched for Jesus when he was lost in the temple. And then, you know, sacred scripture is silent on Joseph. We assume that he passed before the beginning of our Lord's public ministry. There's a lot of speculation that theologians and Bible scholars have made about that and why that could have been. But what we see is St. Joseph acting in those quintessential, beautiful graces, charisms that come by way of the masculine protector, provider, and leader. And we see our Blessed Lady, too. We see her demonstrating those beautiful charisms of the feminine person, receptivity, trust, and surrender. We're called to really reflect those in our own marriages. It's the way that God's created these two genders. There are only two, as we know, male and female. He created them. And that's the way that he desired he would be imaged in the world. It's the coming together of man and woman in their metaphysical dimension, as well as their spiritual dimension, as well as in the way in which they come together for the great gift that God entrusted them, another human person created in his image and likeness. So we'll chit-chat about that. We'll chit-chat about anything that you want to talk about today in relation to marriage. Jack has lots to say. He's been quiet because he's looking. He's looking for that title of Our Lady. Maybe you know it. I don't know. I don't have it, but maybe it's there. We'll see. All right, 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us. That's 833-288-3986. Toll free for you here in North America. And if you are outside of North America, country code 1-205-271-2985. And of course, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page available for you there. Let's keep these phone lines going, folks. Light them up. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. Maybe you're watching us, too, out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We're so happy to be with you today. I've got my husband in studio with me, Jack Williams. As you know, he's the general manager of EWTN Radio. What did I call you? I came up with a brand new name for you for what your position is.
Live on radio. Don't forget that.
It's true enough. I'm so sorry, friends. Oh, gee whizzikers. a brand new name for you in your role on Open Line. You're not really you're a facilitator, but I don't like that name. Anyway, it'll come back to me. Anyway, Jack is basically the one who is there with the hosts of the day on Open Line. I had a great name for that. I said I was going to use that all of the time. But well, anyway, well, I can't remember it right now. It'll come back to me.
While you're thinking of it, I'll remind our listeners that EWTN Radio is all over social media. We're everywhere. Anywhere you can go on social media, we're there. And your favorite programs are available right now. And you can check us out on X.
Oh.
At EWTN Radio. Remember, EWTN is everywhere.
It is everywhere. I want to just make a comment, too, because I had... I received an email from a woman who was looking for one of the programs that aired like last week. I think she said it was April 29th or something. And I went out there. She said she couldn't find it. So I went out there and I found it. And I found it on the EWTN app. So I want to let you all know
Podcast Central.
Pardon me?
Podcast Central.
Yes, Podcast Central. Anyway, EWTN app is a great app for you to have. I really encourage you to download it if you don't have it. There's a feature there called On Demand. And if you go to On Demand, the television programs as well as the radio programs are archived for you there. And they're separated by category, television, you know, radio. Go to radio. Women of Grace is the last one because they're alphabetically listed there. So
you have to swipe all the way to the left.
Keep swiping to the left. Keep swiping. You're going to see me right at the very end there. And then you can just go back through and you'll see the dates and you'll be able to listen to any program that you missed. So I really do encourage you to download that app. It is a very good one and it's free for you. So I did want to mention that when you said we're everywhere, not only are we everywhere, but we're outrageously accessible. We're accessible through that EWTN app. So I wanted to have the opportunity to have the opportunity.
Yeah.
So why did I say aha? Now, you know, I don't know what happens. I come undone when I'm around Jack Williams. But anyway, so there on the break, I was looking something up in a book, and the word perfidious was used. Now, I love words. I totally love words. When I go home, I'm going to look that up. I'm going to see what the etymology of perfidious is. I just love it. Perfidious. P-E-R-F-I-D-I-O-U-S. And I didn't know what it meant. And I couldn't look it up on my phone because I turned it off since it gave a little ding earlier. But Rich Jesse, my producer, found out what it meant and put it up. Do you know what perfidious means? Maybe I'll let you call me and tell me what it means, because now I know what it means. It means deceitful and untrustworthy is what it means.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay.
I don't think that's what you were banking for.
Well, I really was. I mean, I was trying to figure it out in the context of the sentence
that I read. And I'm also not convinced your phone is turned off.
Oh.
I just heard massive buzzing going on. And if I can hear it in my earbuds here, then we're sharing it with the whole world.
Well, I did... okay, so I'm going to check my phone. So, Jack.
So, we were looking for a title of Our Lady that had to do with marriage.
Yes, we were.
Is your phone off, Rich Jesse? Yeah, I can hear it buzzing, just so you know.
Okay, so we're doing radio business here on the air with all of you listening today. I don't even know what to say about that. Go ahead. Titles of Mary related to marriage.
Yep.
Now, I hope that you're just sitting down as he goes through this list, because I know some of them he read a few.
Well, I think there are some here.
Yeah, okay.
Mary, comforter of the afflicted.
Okay.
No?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess it's an important one. Sometimes we feel afflicted.
But really, I think a better one is Mary, mother of patience.
That one I like.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yes, no, that's a very good one.
Yeah, there's a bunch of others, but I think those two. Those two speak to some of the trials and tribulations that come our way.
Yeah, I think so.
In our marriages.
Yeah. And, you know, when it comes to Mother of the Afflicted, you know, we can look at that in terms of sometimes there are tense moments between husbands and wives, and sometimes we feel very afflicted by those. But also, too, you know, as a couple, you know, we face powers and principalities in our day and time. And sometimes those powers and principalities, you know, play havoc in our marriages. It can come by way of our children. It can come by way of outside influences, friends, acquaintances that we know. It can come by way of extended family members who, without realizing it or not, or maybe even realizing it, you know, place a lot of burdens and struggles upon marriages, especially in the early days of marriage, especially when a couple is trying to really meld together to become that one flesh and they're striving to make decisions on their own. You know, sometimes that is an affliction that can occur by way of pressures and influences that really would be better kept silent for the young couple. So I think that that's a very appropriate title that we can apply to that moment. But also patience, because, you know, patience and forbearance is just a remarkable reality of what it takes in married life. And sometimes, obviously, at the beginning, when all of that, you know, that tendency to try to exert influence in a marriage can take place, but also through the course of marriage, as you know, husbands and wives learn to deal with each other's, you know, very unique character traits and personality quirks.
And, you know, there are aspects of these things. These are virtues that have to be cultivated and developed.
Yes.
But there is a component in our humanity, in all of these virtues, where a decision has to be made. And sometimes we just think that wanting to be more patient is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to be more patient is not always enough. Or wanting to be more loving, or wanting, I remember Susie and I used to forever say, you know, let's just say Susie's family, you've met some of them, were a little quirky and complicated, you know, which was a new experience for me because my parents were as simple, you know, until, of course, you know, until my mother passed away and my father's blood sugar got completely out of whack. That was a whole different matter. But up until that point, they were completely self-sufficient and imposed on no one ever. They just kept to themselves and were very simple, so I wasn't used to any of that.
And you were an only child.
That's right.
And that makes a difference, too.
Yeah, so I didn't have any of that to deal with.
Right.
Those variables were eliminated as well. But I think we have to be, for every incident of irritation, there's also a contributing factor of patience,
mm-hmm.
or lack thereof,
mm-hmm.
in those situations. But what I started to say is that Susie and I often would say that, you know, if we were just left to our own devices, we would be fine if we didn't have the rest of the family influencing this, that, or the other thing. And then, you know, we moved to Iowa when most of our family was in the St. Louis area, almost all of them. And we learned that, you know, there's perils around every corner.
Well, you know, and I guess, you know, and we return to this often, friends. And by the way, let me give you those numbers again, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We come back to this, Jack and I come back to this often enough on Monthly Marriage Monday. And that is that, you know, marriage is a vocation. And vocation, by its very nature, it means that we are going to be tried. Why is that? Because vocation is the path that God has selected for us to work out our salvation. And that means there's going to be a whole lot of purification and sanctification that goes on within the marriage. And it's always astonishing to realize that sometimes we, too, need to be purified and sanctified individually, right? So it's always easy to see, well, if only he would, or if only she would, or only you would. But the fact of the matter is sometimes it's if only I would. And I think that this area that you're pointing out here with regard to patience, and also, too, you know, a tendency to be more attentive to the pressure of our biological family, you know, can be complicating too. And if I just may very quickly share, you know, my own experience with my marriage to Anthony, my late husband, you know, I had a tendency to want to, you know, check everything out with my parents. So if we were going to make a decision about something as a couple, I would say to him, well, I'm going to check with my dad first. That was not a good thing. That was not a good thing, but I was oriented in that direction. And so one day, you know, Anthony who was probably up to his eyeballs in those kinds of comments and had held his tongue for a period of time, finally said to me, you know, Johnette, if your dad's opinion is more important than my opinion, then maybe you just need to go back home and live with them. And I knew that he wasn't asking for a divorce, but it was a graphic way of illustrating to me that, no, I married him. It's time that I just agree or disagree with him instead of running everything by my father. So
it's hard for him to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife when his wife will not be cleaved to.
That's true. But it's also very hard, you know, in that instance, right, for him to assume the role that he's called to assume by virtue of his call to be husband. And that's what it was so beautifully illustrated, I tried to express, in Our Blessed Lady and St. Joseph. I mean, he was protector, provider, and leader. And I was usurping Anthony's ability to lead. And I was referring back to my dad, who was the leader of the house that I had just come from. And this went on, you know, for a period of time, maybe, you know, 6 months or so at the beginning of our marriage. And then it stopped, right? Which I'm not sure really pleased my mother. But nonetheless, that's another story that we'll not go into right at the moment.
Well, you know, and I think that sometimes the, you know, these little things replay themselves. And, you know, I think we had a perfect example of it here at the beginning of the program.
We did.
With the phone.
Because
the... you, before we got married, had spent 12 years living by yourself.
Yeah, just about.
So when things like the audible tones of the phone are going off, it doesn't really impact anybody but you.
True enough.
And so after a certain amount of time of listening to all the haptics of the phone, when I wasn't used to hearing them all the time, you know, I voiced my frustration with that situation, and
yes,
and so, you know, is it considerate to be mindful of how the sounds of the phone are affecting others? Absolutely. But if your end desire is to not have those things going on, then maybe more patience than I exercised would have helped get to that end point quicker.
Might have. It might have. At any rate, we could go on about that for, like, we could have a whole family discussion right here at the table about phones. And but I think it's a good illustration of something else. And it is an illustration to dying to self. You know, because that's absolutely important. And what is the key virtue to dying?
This is theology of the body. Believe it or not, this is theology of the body.
Really?
If you want to wrap theology of the body up in a nutshell, from what our late great Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, was trying to teach us, is that marriage is a gift of complete and total self-donation.
That's right. Yes. Right. And what is the key virtue that allows you to do that? It's one, actually, in this little book that I have that's, you know, in reference to Our Blessed Lady, but it's humility. It's absolute humility. And that's something that you see in that beautiful, beautiful example of Mary and Joseph. Humility. You know, Joseph is humble before the Lord. He follows exactly what the Lord tells him to do, right? Mary, in humility, you know, responds to her husband. You know, there's no mention in there. Well, Joseph, are you really sure the angel said we had to get up now? I mean, you know, baby Jesus has been nursing all night, and I'm still tired, right? You know, there's none of that. It's an immediate submission, an immediate action of total self-donation, surrender. But he is surrendered to the will of the Father. And I guess, you know, this is where the rub is. We're not these individuals. Most of us, I don't know, maybe you've had an angel show up in your life, Jack, to tell you what to do. I haven't. But after there's a period of careful discernment and a decision is reached, you know, taking into consideration the totality of the situation and the opinion of the other, then there needs to be that beautiful virtue of humility displayed on the part of the wife. But the husband has got to be all attentive to the need of the wife, as we see so beautifully in St. Joseph, as in the way in which he carries out his duty to her as husband and as father on earth to baby Jesus. You know, he's solicitous of her. He's concerned for her. He's watching for her. If a woman feels that, it's easy to allow herself to submit to the decision of the husband. But if she doesn't sense that in him, it's very hard because she still feels as though there's an area where she's got to protect herself.
Yeah. Did you just paraphrase the whole book there?
No, I didn't. I was just taking you into the machinations of my mind as I was kind of thinking this thing through.
You picked it up like you were going to read something.
I did pick it up. Yeah. No, it's just that this is a book, friends, that I really love. It's Mary's Apostolic Mission and Ours. We have an apostolic mission through our marriages. It's a work of God in the world. We might not look at it like that, but that's what it's meant to be. And so in chapter 33, these are short chapters. That's why there's so many of them. Humility is one of them. And then the next one that follows it is prudence. Prudence is a good one too, Jack. Mm-hmm. To be prudent, you know, we need prudent decisions being made.
I agree.
833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us today.
It would be prudent for you to call.
Oh, yeah. And look, that was perfect timing because here we are right at the break. So we do want you to call. Call in. Maybe there is a title of Our Blessed Mother that really applies to your marriage, or maybe there is a particular virtue that you see in Our Blessed Lady or in St. Joseph that you think would be one that you would like to emulate more in your marriage, or one that you're already emulating, and you can share with us the fruit of it. We grow by sharing the marvelous deeds of the Lord in our lives. So do call and share. 833-288-EWTN. Toll free for you. Very easy breezy stuff. Also, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page available for you. The chat feature is there. Let us hear from you today.
Woohoo.
Yep, going to a break. Coming right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. We are so happy to be with you today right here on Women of Grace Live. We're looking forward to having some holy conversation with you. It is Monthly Marriage Monday. My husband, Jack Williams, is in studio with me. You can hear him Monday through Friday on Open Line, which airs at 3 p.m. Eastern Time right here on EWTN Radio. You should just keep EWTN Radio on all day because there's always great programs coming up for you. We hope you'll join us on this program today, 833-288-EWTN. That is the number to use. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. That's 833-288-3986. You know, this is May. May is one of the months that Holy Mother Church encourages us to really look a little bit more deeply at our Blessed Lady and her beautiful maternal beatitude and intercession for us in our life. And I thought it would be fun to kind of take a look at our Blessed Mother in her role as wife and mother, married to St. Joseph and mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking about our Blessed Mother. We're talking about St. Joseph. We're talking about that in the context of those three charisms of the man: protector, provider, and leader. Not that those are his only three, but they're predominant. They're what basically come with the package of being a man. For a woman, receptivity, trust, and surrender are the hallmarks of her feminine reality. We're talking about their marriage in light of that, and also, too, in a certain way, some of the very special titles of our Blessed Mother and the virtues that those titles suggest that are important to marriage. So we've chatted about patience. We've chatted about, affliction that comes our way. She's mother of the afflicted or comforter of the afflicted.
Comforter of the afflicted.
Right. So we invite you to give us a call there.
Do you know what you share in common with the Blessed Mother?
What is that?
Neither one of you are perfidious.
Well, thank you. Praise be to God for that. Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful. Perfidious was the word that I found in this literature that I have sitting here and didn't know what it meant, but Rich helped us out. It means deceitful or untrustworthy. So thank you for that, Jack. That's a very high compliment. It really is. And I'll tell you, you can never go wrong with our Blessed Mother because she is very trustworthy. God the Father entrusted his son to her. Think about that for a moment, right? And she is not deceitful. There's no stain of any kind of mark of the evil one on her in any way. But I do want to share just a little bit before we get into more of a discussion here. I want to share with you a little bit about what's happening at Women of Grace. On May 9th, we are going to have an evening of grace, and it's going to repeat in the daytime hours on May the 14th. This is a wonderful opportunity for you if you have not experienced a Women of Grace event, because it's online and it's free. I really do encourage you to dip your toe in the water of Women of Grace, because it's a marvelous, marvelous mission for women today. It helps us to live our authentic femininity, to find out who we truly are as the daughters of the Most High God, and to bring that reality to bear upon the culture of the day. In addition to those two opportunities, there's many more that are available for you. We are going to be at the end of June, the last weekend of June, we're going to be at Melbourne Retreat House. We have an annual retreat there every year. We've been doing it since, I think, like 2006. It's been a wonderful opportunity for us there. This year, we're in June rather than July. So if you've been coming, and so many of you have been coming, we have some of you that have been coming every year since then, which is really quite incredible. We're so grateful for that. If you're used to the third week of July, just notice that it's the end of June this year. It's going to be preceded by the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar on June the 27th. Our guest for that, our guest presenter, is Chris McGregor, and I'm very excited about this. I, you know, have become a fan of Chris personally. I've been a fan of her work, Discerning Hearts, which is available for you out there, one of the original podcast outlets. And she kind of put podcasting on the map. Beautiful apostolate. She's going to be presenting to us on the theme, Women Mystics and the Divine Life Within. I mean, I don't know about you, but that just really whets my appetite. I can't wait to hear more. That is going to be followed on the 28th, beginning the evening of the 28th, with our Women of Grace retreat itself. Chris will be presenting. I'll be presenting. And Father Ken Geraci will be presenting. So many of you just were so blown away by him last year. I asked him if he would come back. He's graciously agreed. It is not too soon to begin to register. We sell out of this event. So if you have any notion of coming, I want you to get out there to the website and take a peek at it and join us.
And I think that they should heed that advice this year more than ever. Because I know that there are women who cannot come during that week in July when normally, because they have something in their life. So they are going to gobble up spots because it's in a time other than the middle of July. So they are available to come when they otherwise would not be. And those people are going to be galloping to the registration table online quickly.
Yes, they are. And, you know, we seat about 345 people. Those spaces go very quickly. There's no more room in the large conference room at Malvern for that. And we like Malvern very much. We like Malvern
Cafeteria.
Yeah, the cafeteria too. So we do want to encourage you, please do sign up and join us. Join us for both the Benedicta and the retreat, if you can make both. If you can't, make one or the other. For those of you that are involved in the certification program that we offer through our Benedicta Institute for Women, Certification in Catholic Women's Leadership, this beautiful presentation, or 2 days, day and a half of presentation by Chris McGregor, is going to count for one credit towards that. And if you don't know about our Benedicta Institute, I want you to get out and take a peek at it. We're going to have an immersive in October, the week of October the 11th, at St. Bernard's Abbey here in Coleman, Alabama. It's going to be a beautiful opportunity for you to be there. Dr. Donald Wallenfang will be presenting again. We were just in Florida at Our Lady of Florida Spiritual Center Was it last week? It was the week before last week. I can't believe it's been that 2 weeks already. My gracious. Oh, my gracious. What a wonderful, wonderful time that was. So you're going to want to join us for that. So check it all out. Enough said on Women of Grace. Get on out there. We're looking forward to hearing from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Don't delay. Call right away. We want to hear from you today. Right, Jack?
Right. Matt, okay, so we have an anonymous question for us that someone wants to know if we ever disagree on anything spiritual, or are we on the same pace and level?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, it's an interesting question on a lot of fronts there. So let's talk about this. Do we ever disagree on, you know, spiritual issues? I wouldn't say. Well, see, I would phrase it differently.
Yes. The short answer is yes.
I like to say that we have discussions about different matters, and sometimes we see things differently. But do we disagree, like, on the importance of the spiritual life or
no.
on the importance of God in our life or in our marriage? No, we don't.
No.
But you know, so do you want to share a little bit more about that?
Well, there, you know, I think we have different bents.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think
we're not the same.
No, I think we're mostly, you know, I think we think like-mindedly about most things. You know, and maybe disagree is too strong of a word. Maybe we don't really disagree so much, but we may see the same thing not a little differently, but we may be, how about this is a popular word in our culture. We may be on the same spectrum, but maybe at different wavelengths.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a moment, because I find that's a fascinating question. And I think that the discussion is fascinating. So if we look at the spiritual life, right, the spiritual life is definitely not one-dimensional. It's multi-layered. And we can think of it like as a diamond, right? And a diamond has a lot of different facets. And sometimes within the context of our spiritual life, there is, you know, the divine and holy light of the Lord is shining on one facet of that diamond in our spiritual life, or another facet in our spiritual life. And occasionally, you know, those facets present differently to different individuals, you know. So one time maybe that beautiful prism is shining green, or sometimes it's shining rose, or whatever it might be. So we might see it, we might be looking at it slightly differently. And not only is that true, you know, with regard to the movement of grace in our souls and in our hearts, but it's also true. And I'm going to come back to this because it's a realism. It's fact. You know, the male perspective and the female perspective is often very different. You know, and so the way in which a man comes at some of these things, the way in which his brain operates, his spirit operates, is a little different than the way a woman's does. But in the end, when it comes to the work of grace in our lives, I would say that, you know, God's grace brings us to where we need to be at every given point and moment in time.
Most moments of time. I think sometimes we probably arrive at those points later than we could have had we taken different steps, maybe.
Yeah. Now, and as for are we on the same pace and level? Well, you know, that's also an interesting question. And the reason why that I think it's interesting is because the work of God in a soul is very specific and individual. And, you know, the nuances are always different. So while there are certain patterns or certain ways that are identifiable with regard to the spiritual life, spiritual directors know what those are, can lead and guide a soul. No two souls are alike because no two human persons are alike. So the soul is not, it's not a singular reality and we all get one and they're all the same. That's absolutely not the case. They are attuned for the way in which God wants to work within each person who is irrepeatable. You know, there's never going to be another you. There's never going to be another me. And God works with us in the way in which he's created us, in the way in which he knows us best. In addition to that, the situation, circumstances, and experiences that we have in our life also shape and mold our perception. So God knows what works with us. He knows the context. He knows where the wounds are. He knows where the aches are. He knows where the unfulfilled desires are. He knows where the joys are. He knows where we were well-formed. He knows where we were misformed or misshapen. So, and that's different for each one of us based on what it is that we've experienced in the context of our lives. So this God, this omniscient God who loves us unto the gift of his son, right? This God knows how to work with us. And so that's always different. But then where does that bring us, Jack? It brings us right back to what we were talking about. It brings us right back to the need to exercise virtue.
Yeah. And I'll tell you how this manifests itself oftentimes. By virtue of what we do as an avocation, we are in a position to be approached by people and ideas that we otherwise would not probably be approached. So we're forced to address things by virtue of the fact that in this small niche of society in the Catholic world, you know, we are more known than the average person walking around on the street. And, you know, rightly or wrongly, people value our opinions on things for that reason, because we're visible people in that space. And so what will happen sometimes, not frequently, but sometimes what will happen is there will be confronted with a situation or a concept or a spiritual principle someone's asking about that we otherwise would have no reason to discuss. Mm-hmm. And when you look at a bigger picture, you know, and I'm not going to mention anything specifically, but there's no entertainment in just nodding your agreement. So you could take something that we could 95% completely and totally agree on, but there's maybe 5% of that little concept that we're not exactly on the same page of.
Yes.
So that can easily start to dominate the conversation, because it's far more interesting and there's far more conversation can be ratcheted out of the things that you don't exactly see eye to eye on, as opposed to the things that you do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And I think we've found ourselves in positions on occasion where we've had to tap the brakes and, you know, lean back on the overwhelming majority of a particular topic that we agree on.
Yeah.
And not get hyper-focused on the things that we might see a little bit differently.
Yeah. Well, and that's true. So, you know, I don't know exactly how to express this. You know, the thing of it is that we, when it comes to the teachings of the church, when it comes to truths of the faith, there's no room for discussion, because we hold to those. We hold to what we profess in the Nicene Creed, in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, etc. We believe that, right? We believe that. But there is, and we believe in the dogma of the church, what Holy Mother Church says. So we never have a discussion like on Mary's perpetual virginity.
Right.
We accept that. We stand in awe before the mystery, understanding that it's in the face of mystery that faith begins, right? We don't comprehend it necessarily intellectually. We're not being asked to comprehend it intellectually. We're asking to be given to give assent to it. So we don't have discussions about those matters.
Right.
Where we end up having discussions, I would say, Jack, is it would be in the nuances where there isn't necessarily clarity.
Right.
You know, where the church hasn't pronounced, or there is room for interpretation. So if we're discussing, you know, I just have a sense that we should do this or that, then, well, I don't, and for this reason, right? And that then together as a couple, we've got to work through that. And this is where praying together as a couple on a daily basis is helpful, even if it's just a short couple of prayers, right? This is where, you know, attending Mass together as a couple. This is where being able to be open and honest with each other, you know, because there might not be a right or a wrong answer. That's one of the great lessons that Doug Keck taught me many years ago. He said, you know, Johnette, there's probably 40 ways to do something right. And I hold on to that when we, you know, are discussing something of great importance, a decision that we should make. So in these kinds of areas where there isn't real clarity, then, you know, we may hold different opinions. What we strive to do, though, you know, is to come to agreement. And usually that requires a bending of the will. And that becomes a praise God moment, because we're being asked to die to self. And if we're going to be filled more with the life of God, we've got to die to self over and over again. And God is very good at helping us do that in very practical settings, such as in an area where we don't see eye to eye in the moment on something, right?
Yeah.
Did you know that social scientists tell us that women speak 25,000 words a day and men speak 10,000 words a day? We speak more than that because we talk for a living, right?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, and it's just, and you know, we're different individuals. There's a lot of things that play into this, just like you said. We are individuals first and foremost.
Right.
One of us is male and one of us is female.
Yeah, obvious
that
difference.
That plays a huge role in these sort of things.
Yes.
You know, I tend to take a far more protective view of novel ideas than, you know, you tend to be naturally more trusting and welcoming of novel ideas, and I tend to be a little more skeptical on the face of novel ideas,
mm-hmm.
you know, which you know, creates some work for us to get to the same place sometimes
mm-hmm.
as we talk about these things. I tend to like to contemplate these things and sort of get an idea of where I really feel like I am before I start discussing things. You tend to work things out vocally from the moment that they're presented to us.
Which I demonstrate every day on radio.
So these differences,
yeah.
you know, are, they can create the appearance of discord where there really isn't any.
That's right. Well, and may I just say that you've pointed out one very important factor here. That men and women are different, and even our brains are different. And this is why this is, you know. And I am not alone in reasoning things out as I speak. That is a trait that is common to women. Not saying that some men don't do that. They may. But women tend to know what we think as we're puzzling it out loud. And it's because we have more connectors in the brain. You know, and so everything is immediately presented in the head, and so we talk it out to kind of sort it out, to kind of get to where it is that we're going. But men have like a connector between the two hemispheres of the brain, just one. And so men tend to puzzle it out, right, before they move forward in the speaking. It's just part of the way that we're made. So, you know, the fact of the matter is, I think that we...
You know, this is
also part of the complementarity of the sexes. It's part of the complementarity of the sexes. What are you making a funny face about?
Because Charles Beery just came bursting through the door and then
disappeared.
Turned around and burst out. I think he's used to you not being in the studio.
Oh, that's right. I'm not in the studio all that often.
So we're outing Charles Beery.
Oh.
No, what I was gonna say is, you know, one of the characteristics that you talked about is being a protector. As a man. So if you're in the castle and you see something that you can't immediately identify coming over the horizon,
right.
You know, we are going to be skeptical and we're going to want to know what that thing is before we start to engage what that thing is.
That's right.
And you have more of a tendency to lower the drawbridge and go skipping out throwing flowers, you know?
Welcoming them.
That's
come,
right.
Come.
Yes. That's right.
Oh, behemoth. Well, you know, what can I say? through the grace of God, I made it through all of those years, you know, all of these years. All of that being said, it's just an interesting reality, the male and the female thing. You can't get away from it. This is why this whole transgenderism thing is just absolutely, you know, it's just inane.
Just when you thought it couldn't be more complicated, just the simple differences between males and females, well, we as humans have found a way to make it more complicated.
Exactly, exactly. But the beautiful thing is that complementarity is true and real and beautiful. So, is married life.
Really quickly, I want to remind everybody that the Human Rights Monument in Ottawa, Canada stands for the principles of equality, dignity, and rights, and it serves as the backdrop for this candlelight vigil before the March for Life Canada.
Lovely.
And that will take place on Wednesday, this Wednesday, 11 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN Television.
Very good. Well, thank you for getting that in, honey. In the meantime, I want to remind all of you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Join us for one of our upcoming events, online or in person. We want to be with you. It's always so wonderful, Jack, to be with you on radio.
I agree.
Well, I'm glad. Look at that.
It is wonderful for you to be with me.
Oh. God bless all of you. Bye.